take your Bibles tonight back in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 17 tonight and hopefully make it down through the end of the chapter, verse 29. You know, every one of the letters that Paul wrote that are included in the New Testament, there's two sections. There's a doctrinal section where Paul says, this is what we believe. And then there's a practical section that says, okay, based on what we believe, here's how it ought to show up in our lives. And the first part of the doctrinal section of the book of Romans, Paul is making the case that everybody is a sinner, that there's none that are exempt from that. You remember after his salutation in chapter 1, he dealt with the heathen. He said, you know, they have been, God has revealed himself to them in nature. He has revealed himself to them in conscious, in their conscious, and yet they have rejected that revelation from God. And so they are separated from God by their sin. Last week, in the first part of chapter 2, he was dealing with the people that the world would classify as moral, those that live good lives, those that do good things. And again, I was talking to somebody today that was telling me all the good things that they did. And I said, that's good. That's a wonderful testimony, but that doesn't make you right with God. I said, how many good things do you have to do to be right with God? How many bad things can you do and get by with it? We can't draw those lines. And God says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So last week we were talking about the people that live their lives in a moral way. And Paul made the case that that they are sinners too. Now it's easy to convince the heathen that they're sinners. It's a little bit harder to convince moral people that they're sinners. But this week Paul's going to deal with a group of people that really thought they had it made because they were Jews. And this week we're going to look at the last part of chapter 2, and in this last part of chapter 2, Paul is making the case. And again, the church at Rome was made up of Jews and Gentiles, but he was making the case that, hey, even those of you that call yourself Jews, you still need a Savior because you're still sinners. So look at verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law and maketh thy boast of God. Now, every one of the Israelites that lived in Palestine through the Babylonian captivity, and those that came back from the Babylonian captivity were called Jews. It didn't matter what tribe they were from. I mean, you could be from any of the 12 tribes. If you lived in Palestine, and you were called a Jew. Paul, in fact, called himself a Jew in Acts 21:39. Now, he also called himself an Israelite. He also called himself a Hebrew in different places, different books that he wrote. All three names, Jews, Israelites, Hebrews, refer to the same group of people, the sons of Jacob. But in a technical sense, the name Hebrew is, that's a racial name. That's the name of their race. The title Israelite was a national designation. They were of the nation of Israel. And the word Jew is really a religious name. They followed the Jewish religion. And the Jews, as that verse said, rested in the law. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, the Bible describes the law like this, that it gives wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So even the peoples of the world looked at the law that God had given his people and said that law provides wisdom. That law provides understanding. And like that verse says, the Jews rested in that law to say, hey, this is all we need. If I can learn the law and the statutes that God have taught, I don't need any other education. That's the best education that I can get. And they boasted in God who gave the law, that the law would make them right with God. Verse 18, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Now, if you were a Jew, you were taught the law from childhood. And just when you grew up, you continued your learning of the law. And again, the Jews thought that because they were instructed their whole life in the law, that though they could discern the things of God, the things that are more excellent, the things of God, and so that they could know or prove or discern the things of God. Now look at verses 19 and verse 20. And are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. And again, because they thought the law, the possession of the law, would make them right with God, they were convinced that they could be the four things that are mentioned in these verses. That they could be a guide to the blind. The Gentiles were blind. They needed somebody that had the law to guide them. A light to them which are in darkness. The Gentiles were in darkness. The Jews had been enlightened by the law. So they could provide that light by teaching the Gentiles the law. An instructor of the foolish. Again, because the Gentiles did not have the law, they were fools. And so the Jews could be instructors to them. A teacher of babes. Because, again, the Gentiles didn't have the law. They were immature. And so they could be, the Jews could be a teacher of them. And so, again, Paul's getting ready to tell the Jews that they too need something else. They need a Savior because they're sinners. They were dependent on the law. And Paul said, you rest in the law. You think the law gives you this privilege? Now, notice what he says in verses 21 through 23. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. So again, there's three things. Let me just tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'll tell you again, and then I'll tell you what I told you. But sort of like I do on Sunday morning. The Jews thought they were right with God for three reasons. They had the law. They had circumcision. They were born as part of the family of God. They were born an Israelite. And so they thought, I got the law, I've followed the rite of circumcision, the males, and I was born into a Jewish family, therefore I must be right with God. In this section that Paul's dealing with the Jews, he's going to tear down all three of them. So he's starting with the law. And he says, okay, you think you can be a teacher of the law? You think you can teach the Gentiles? How can you teach the Gentiles if you don't do what the law says? The law says, don't steal, but you steal. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The law says, don't commit adultery. You commit adultery, the seventh commandment. The law says, have no other God before me. And yet you put other things before me. And again, they were ready to teach others. And Paul says, you that are teaching others, how can you teach them when you may know the law, but you don't do the law? You make your boast in the law, like it says in verse 23, but when you break the law, you dishonor God. You dishonor God. You say one thing and you do another. You teach one thing, and yet if people listen to your teaching and then look at your life, they see the inconsistency. You cannot depend on the law to get you right with God unless you keep the law. And Paul's going to say, you're not keeping the law. Look at verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. In that verse, Paul is quoting Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5. And what he's saying is, and what the prophet Isaiah said, is when you teach one thing and do another, the Gentiles are going to look at your inconsistency and they're going to think lightly. They're not going to pay any attention to God or his word. And that's what it means to blaspheme, to treat lightly, to disregard, to let it have no effect on you. They're going to do that because of your inconsistency. You can't say one thing and do another and expect people to put any credence in what you say. Now, again, we could say the same thing about a lot of Christians. I mean, I don't want to meddle tonight, but we could say the same thing about a lot of Christians today. We're hearers of the word and not always doers. And when people listen to what we say and then look at what we do, if there's an inconsistency between the two, they're going to say, well, I don't know what kind of God they serve. If that's what Christianity is all about, I'll pass. Thank you very much. And so we need to be consistent in our living with what we say. And if we say what's in this book, then this book ought to guide our life. And that's what Paul always had the second section of the letters. It's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to let it affect your life. If it doesn't affect your life, you got to come back and say, how much do you really believe it? Because if you really believe it, it's going to impact what you do. The Jews, they rested in the law, but they did not keep it. And so Paul's point was, you can't depend on the law. Yes, if you could keep every point of the law, then maybe you could be made right with God. But there's only been one person that's kept every point of the law, and he was the Son of God. In fact, I was talking to somebody today about if you break the law in the book of James, the Bible says if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. And I told this person, I said, somebody that's disobedient to parents, that doesn't honor their parents through their disobedience, is just as guilty as a murderer, just as guilty as an adulterer. They didn't like it very much, but I said, that's not what I'm saying, that's what the Bible says. You break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. And so the Jews rested in the law, but Paul said, the law ain't going to make you right. It's not going to make you right with God. It's not. Then in verse 25, he deals with something else that the Jews rested upon. Their circumcision, verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now, Paul never says that circumcision justifies a person, makes him right with God. He says it's profitable at times if circumcision helps you keep the law. Again, circumcision was an outward sign. If that outward sign reminded you of the law, reminded you that you need to obey the law, then it was profitable. But it never does justify. But then he goes on, if you break the law, if you don't keep the law, it doesn't matter if you've been circumcised or not, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Because, again, it's an outward sign to remind you of the law. And if you don't keep the law, you might as well not have the outward sign. Verses 26 and 27. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. Now, Paul's turning the tables. I mean, a true Jew would never want to hear what Paul had just said. He said, now look, if an uncircumcised Gentile gives his heart to the Lord and lives in the right relationship to the law, that's more pleasing to God than a circumcised Jew that's not keeping the law. And he says, and shall not uncircumcision, if it fulfill the law, judge thee. Paul says, he's not saying the Gentiles are going to judge the Jews, but he's going to say, your hypocrisy, your falling away from and not keeping the law, will be judged by uncircumcised Gentiles that keep the law. They will point out by their example to others that they are more pleasing to God than you are. Even though they haven't been circumcised, they're keeping the law, and you have been circumcised and you're not, their example is going to stand in judgment of your lifestyle. And so he says, you may rest in the law, but if you don't keep it, it doesn't do any good. You may be circumcised, but if you don't keep the law, it doesn't do any good. And then in verses 28 and 29, he deals with the third thing, being born into a Jewish family. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So again, he says, the law doesn't make you right with God. Circumcision doesn't make you right with God. And the fact that you have, we're born into a Jewish family, a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Isaac, that doesn't make you right with God either. Now, again, Paul's using the word Jew here in two senses, much like we use the word Christian in two senses. We use the word Christian. Some people use the word Christian today to talk about people that are different than the people that live in the world and of the world. They may not be saved, but they live a moral life. And there are some people that call moral people a Christian. For a long time, the United States of America was known as a Christian nation. Now, I don't think they counted and see how many people were saved and how many weren't, and if the majority were saved, we're a Christian nation. I think they were talking about that for the most part, we conducted ourselves as a nation in a righteous way. So, again, some people use the word Christian not necessarily to describe somebody that's saved, but somebody that acts right. We know a Christian is somebody that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. A true Christian is somebody that's admitted their sin, understood there's a penalty for that sin, understood that Jesus paid the penalty on Calvary, and asked Jesus to save them. And so again, Paul's using the word Jew in the same way. Some people thought that if you were born into a Jewish family, that made you a Jew. And because you were a Jew, you were right with God. And Paul says, no. That doesn't make you a Jew. I mean, you can't be a Jew unless you are born into a Jewish family. I mean, that's a requirement. But that's the outward. That's the outward thing that he talks about in these two verses. What truly makes you a Jew is having the same relationship with God that Abraham did. That where Abraham loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Where his heart was knit to God's, that he had the same priorities and he lived by, in the way that God wanted him to live. Paul, that's what Paul is saying. It's both of those things that make you a Jew. Not just the fact that you were born into a Jewish family. That doesn't make you a Jew. But are you right with God like your father Abraham was? Like Isaac was? That's what makes you a Jew. And if you don't have those two things, Don't count on your heritage. Don't count on the fact that you were born into a Jewish family and say, well, I'm okay with God. I don't need anything. Don't count on your circumcision. Because if you're circumcised and not keeping the law, the uncircumcised are going to judge you. And don't just count on the possession of the law to make you right with God. Because if you break it, you're not right with God. And so again, see what Paul's doing. This third group of people who were part of this church in Rome were probably the hardest ones that Paul had to convince that they needed a Savior. Now, we're going to get into chapter 3 next week where we know there's none where it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul just couldn't say that to a group of heathen, moral people, and Jewish people unless he laid the background for them to understand, well, here's why you are sinners. You may rest upon your morality, but doesn't make you right with God. You may rest upon the fact that you are Jew, a Jewish descent, have the law, been circumcised, but that still doesn't make you right with God. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody needs a Savior. And so, again, these first two chapters, Paul is laying the doctrinal groundwork, the doctrinal foundation of the gospel that he's going to start talking about in chapter 3. So, we're going to quit. Thank you for being here tonight. Let me just make the application. We are not Christians because of our works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, after we're saved, we are his creation, created to do good works. And what we believe ought to affect how we live. It ought to show up in our lives. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.